I will have to say, as I think my memo indicated, that Anderson was downright enthusiastic about the Ribbentrop proposal. I wondered for a while if Ribbentrop was going to invite him to join him, but he finally did, and then Mansfield and Humphrey spoke up and said to Ribbentrop, we'll file your amendment, and why don't you just go ahead and file your amendment, see where you get with it, and you can put our names on it, too. But, you know, hell. Now, B. Muller called me, and I said, now, Andy, I just want to again say to you, incidentally, apparently Cruikshank or somebody in labor issued a release saying that this was all lovely, labor supported totally, the administration was for it. So I had Chuck Daly call and Cruikshank said, well, hell, I put that in because I saw Mansfield and Humphrey's name on there, and I knew there had been a meeting. So then B. Muller called me, and I said, Andy, I'm not going to read in some labor journal this fall that the administration failed on a piece of Medicare, and if they had only adopted a different strategy, we would have had Medicare or something like that. Now, I said, what the hell is labor's position? I'll tell you the White House position. We're for King Anderson. Now, what's your position? And Andy said, well, God, we think this is a good idea, and we'd like to see it go forward. Now, I said, you're saying that to me. I'm not suggesting it to you. Now, you understand now that's your report to George Meany is that you suggested to the White House that labor felt that Ribbentrop's proposal, joined by the leadership up there, was a good proposal, and labor likes it, and labor is going to support it. Now, you've advised the White House of that. The White House hasn't advised you. And he said, well, I understand. He said, I understand your position. I said, well, Christ, why the hell does labor have to send out press releases? Of course, I knew nothing about Ribbentrop mouthing off until this morning. But in any event, I don't think it's doing any lasting harm, but Christ, it isn't the way to do things. Damn them.
Well, I think it's right, that's that. Now, what do we have that's trouble? Appalachia, I gather, because no rule.
Yeah, now, I am, because I'm trying to clean up all this stuff and wrap it up.
Is anybody making any poll on Appalachia?
I was just wanted to report that on you. When you called me yesterday, I was with the leadership up there, and we took a poll on Appalachia. And actually, I'll tell you candidly, all we had at that damn meeting was pretty much what we brought to the meeting. Now, we had about 130 Democrats that have been checked out and were right. We had some 15 or 18 Democrats that have been checked out and were wrong. And I didn't think between us that it was an awfully good meeting. So I said to the speaker, damn it all. In the meantime, of course, during the course of the meeting, everybody realized there wasn't a rule and that Smith was going to use this blackjack. I think I dropped you a memo on that last night, too. So I said to the speaker, God, these people are in town for the rest of the afternoon. My staff is going to work immediately if you'll leave us out of here, Mr. Speaker, for the rest of the day. And we're going to put together tomorrow morning, that's namely this morning, the best we can, a head count. I told Roosevelt to stay in town. He had to stay here, and that fellow Sweeney and the rest of them work for him, and they are to develop their count. And we are meeting at 11:30 this morning with the speaker and the leadership again to what amounts to continuing a head count that I didn't think was at all satisfactory yesterday. Now, my guys are standing by right now to put together all the pieces that we developed over yesterday afternoon and last night. And then in 20 minutes, we'll head up the hill to meet with them. Now, Smith told Roosevelt that he didn't anticipate, or indicated to him at least, he didn't anticipate a meeting of the Rules Committee on either Monday or Tuesday. Obviously, he's going to try and wheel and deal with McCormick on this Tuck resolution.
Now, what's the situation on apportionment?
Well, now, at that, did you see my memo on my conversation with Humphrey? On that?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I did. Mansfield understands clearly, and thank God that Christ, at least in the area of keeping things quiet, Mansfield's good. I said to him, you understand now that I have no position at all on reapportionment. I've had no instruction. The White House isn't involved in this. I ran into Hollifield and a couple of those liberals over in the House.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. Okay. And then it was left that these people ought to take a long look at this damn thing because Smith can get this on the calendar. McCormick feels he'll push it on the calendar on Tuesday and that it will pass in the House. Now, B. Muller wants to meet with me at 12:30 because he says it can't pass, and I'm going to tell B. Muller, well, you, for Christ's sake, sit with those Democratic Study Group people, and because they're telling me it will pass. And that's where it stands. In the meantime, Humphrey said that he felt that something had to be done in that Senate in view of the Tuck resolution, but that it was premature to suggest to Clark or Douglas or any of those fellows that maybe they were playing the wrong game, and he said, let's take a look at it for another day. And so they're just bogged in cement.
You want to get a hold of Katzenbach and see what position they ought to take, see what they can do about it, and ask them to take charge, or get the Attorney General back here and get him to take charge of this Supreme Court thing before they work on the court?
Yeah, because we
do that.
Yeah, we talked to Katzenbach yesterday, and his whole idea is, well, why don't you fellas tell me what I should do? And I'm only a lawyer, but,
you know. What he should do is try to get it in shape where he can live with it without destroying the court. And it's a legal problem. And the court has made this ruling. And they've got this bill as a fait accompli. And they've got the Dirksen thing he's been working on over there. Now, what does the lawyer recommend that we do under those circumstances? He's wanting to be Attorney General, and let's have a program. Let's see what it is. And we'll make a decision if we get recommendations. In any event, they ought to be in touch with the House leaders and the Senate leaders and make a recommendation on what are the alternatives. And just say we want that, and we need it, and need it right away, and please take charge of the House and Senate with you and come to some conclusion as to what is desirable and what is feasible.
Now, Humphrey told Mansfield in my presence yesterday that he was prepared to support the Mansfield-Dirksen Amendment, that he had read it, he reviewed it carefully, that he felt that it was...
Just tell Katzenbach know that. Let him talk to him and talk to some of the other lawyers there. And talk to the Senate Judiciary people and the House Judiciary people and come up with some solution like they did civil rights.
Yeah.
So we can see what position we're in, and we'll take it and get it to as quick as can, maybe over the weekend.
All right.
Okay.
All right.